Greetings, guys, and welcome to week two of Effortless Discipline. Today we're going to be talking about discipline through subtraction. Now, when we talk about discipline, subtracting things that don't really matter from our life becomes a critical part of becoming more disciplined. You see, because for most people, it's not a lack of discipline that is the issue. It is a fact they simply have taken on too many tasks. They are just too ambitious, which is going to lead to overwhelm, and does. They probably have a list of 25 things on it, and even if they manage to get most of these items done and completed, they still beat themselves up for the things they didn't manage to do. Does this sound familiar? I bet it does. And so if we want to do great things and achieve big goals, we have to do fewer things. We have to be ruthless with our to-do list and cut out anything that doesn't really matter. And this comes to knowing ourselves that we covered in week one. Now, Bruce Lee, he knew a thing or two and he recognizes truth when he said, it's not about the daily increase, but the daily decrease. So, where can we trim our list to the things that really matter, right? And when we can do that, then we can focus on our rules and on our big why, on our vision, and then we get to be able to do and complete the things that really matter. And maybe for once, we can actually clear our to-do list. Now, wouldn't that be a thing, huh? So we have to take a real hard look at everything that we are involved in and ensure that these things are truly authentically what we want to be doing. Do we really need a second or third business? Do we really need to be doubling or tripling our existing business? Do we really need that even bigger house? Is the direction that you are heading towards really going to provide you with the happiness you ultimately desire? Or would simplifying your life be a better and faster way of getting there? More is not always better. And just because we can do something, it doesn't mean that we should do that thing. There's also another way to look at this, and this is when we look at what we call life seasons and the life season discussion. This is another area where we get to be really clear with ourselves. We have different seasons in life, and each season requires a slightly different approach. And as each season, so do we. You see, you're probably not going to manage the same pace as a 25-year-old single guy if you're a 40-year-old married guy with kids and a business, for example. However, you may well be expending a great amount of energy and focus on trying to keep up with a previous season or identity that no longer exists. So, where might you still be trying to hold on to a life season that perhaps gets to be updated? You want to have a hard and honest look at your life, because if there's a mismatch between your expectations and your current reality, this is going to ramp up your stress and anxiety, and you're always going to be chasing the next thing. However, when you hack away at the things that don't need to be happening, then you can free up your energy and focus and do the things that really matter. And then not only are you going to get to the bottom of your to-do list and begin to enjoy your life again, your results are going to explode exponentially. So, what do you need to cut from your life for you to be able to focus on what really matters? What habits? What routines? What commitments in your life right now are fluff? You want to keep in mind that good is the enemy of great. And if we want to be great, then we really have to get rid of the things that are not going to get us there. And just because a habit served you, for example, in the past or has helped you find some success, it doesn't necessarily mean it's worth your time today. So once you've identified the fluff in your life, you want to commit to dropping just one of those habits or one of those routines or one of those activities today. We now move on to optimizing our environment. And we continue to achieve discipline through subtraction by optimizing our environment and eliminating the toxic temptations that and destroying the distractions that take us off our game. At the end of the day, if you want to be more productive and you want to be more disciplined, it's probably not your intention that is holding you back. It's probably not your willpower holding you back, because you guys have probably more willpower than the average person. It's just that there might simply be too many obstacles in your way, too many temptations, too many things calling for your attention. So optimizing your environment, both globally and locally, is going to change everything for you. So let me explain what I mean about the local environment. Your local environment is basically the area around your desk. If you stretch out your hands fully forward and back and forth, right, and back and behind, it's the circle around you. What do you find when you do that? You've probably found books, magazines, maybe your phone, your computer, perhaps you've got some snacks lying around, piles of paperwork. What did you find? Make a list of it, right? Everything around you is potentially a distraction bomb that can totally destroy your discipline and your intention. And so what you want to do is clean your local environment by packing things away. So use your drawers to tuck things away, hide things away, move your books, put them back in the bookcases, remove the snacks, and just generally clean the environment so that whatever is around you is the bare essentials for you to do your work. We want to move the temptations from eyesight and from arm's length. And when we do this, we simply become more successful, because now we can only do work at our desk. Think back to high school or college or varsity when you were given a project, and say it was due for like a month from now. 25 days go past, you got like a couple of days left, and suddenly you think, man, I better get my skates on, right? To do the work, to hand it in the next couple of days. You procrastinate it until the very last minute, and then you get to rush to get it done. I think we've all been there. But now imagine I gave you an assignment, and I put you in a room with nothing but a piece of paper and a pen and the assignment. Now, you might mess around a bit, but then you would realize that you're not going to get out of the room until you completed the assignment. And without any distractions to slow it down, you probably would complete it quickly to get it done. So this is what we need to do when it's time to be in our focused work environment. Now, I've heard various stories, such as writers hiring a tiny office or a simple hotel room with just a desk and a chair and a computer that's been dumbed down, so that they can go there, focus on their writing, and do all the work when they're there without any temptations, completely focusing on the work that they need to do while they are there. Now, I'm not advocating we do the same, although it might be a good idea depending on the work that you do. And I'm not saying that we want to make our lives miserable either. But you want to understand that if you want to be disciplined and focused, it's going to be so much easier when you have nothing to distract you. So you get to set up your work environment for success. Keep the area spartan so that when you are there, you get to work with zero distractions, which is going to result in higher quality work being completed quicker. And who doesn't want that? So the idea here is you build your system locally to support you, and then automatically this helps you become more disciplined. Next up, we have global environment. And globally, of course, is everything outside of your immediate work area. Could be your home and within your community. Now, I'm going to use an extreme example, but imagine you are an alcoholic and you want to stop drinking. You can be on your best behavior. You can say the Serenity Prayer, you can drink gallons of water, you can go to your daily meetings, and you can do that for 6 days of the week. But then you walk into the pub on day 7, and then the wheels come off. You would have let your global environment throw a distraction bomb your way, And so it's going to cause you a problem. So in this example, the global environment must keep you out of all drinking situations. The situation could be different. Perhaps your distraction is in life is gossiping. And so you cannot be around people that gossip. You must remove yourself from the situations. Or it could be food. And if you have a tendency to overeat or eat bad stuff, you either got to keep that food from your home or avoid going to the places that you would normally overeat. The issue that will come up immediately for some of you is that, well, maybe I want to hang around my friends and this is where they go. And so I'm not suggesting that you get rid of your friends. However, could you offer an alternative activity or meeting place or even time that would work better for you? Perhaps instead of meeting for lunch or for drinks, you could meet your friends in the morning for an activity. And so they can do whatever they want in the evening while you get to do something else. So you can still stay friends because it's not that they are bad people. They just put you in a bad environment which leads to bad decisions. So change the environment such that the environment then helps you change. When you eliminate the bad decisions, as we know, life becomes a whole lot better. You become more successful, you make a promise and keep a promise, you build your confidence and suddenly you will begin to achieve more success. So, I'd like for you to write down three simple actions that you can take today to optimize your environment. For example, you could install some sort of blocker on your browser so you don't keep getting distracted by social media. You definitely get to throw out the junk food, the beers, the cigarettes so they aren't a temptation. And you get to change your social commitments so you can maintain a consistent sleep schedule. Right, so whatever it is, once you've identified the change you need to make, you take action and then notice how it shifts your habits throughout the week. This conversation leads automatically to dealing with, on occasion, difficult people. So let's discuss a little bit and talk a little bit about how we do this. How do we deal with difficult people? The people that can distract you and tempt you with toxic temptations into doing wrong things, which will totally destroy your discipline. Now, as I said earlier on, I'm not suggesting that you stay away from hanging around these people. And that's not what I'm saying. Some of these people may be close friends, they may be family, so you can't stay away. What I'm saying though is stop hanging around people in certain situations. For example, I have a very good Krav Maga friend. He is Scottish and he drinks like a fish. In fact, he is a binge drinker, and for every one beer I would drink, he could easily down three. Now, not only that, when the drink started flowing, so would the unhealthy snacks. And so collectively, that would wipe out an evening or half day over the weekend. It would really screw up my diet and it messed up the following day usually. So every time I would hang around him, I would land up drinking a lot more and I would usually drink a lot more often. Now, don't get me wrong. He's a fun guy to be with and I wanted to spend time with him. I just didn't want to be going out drinking with him, at least not as often as he wanted to, nor getting myself into situations that would happen. And so I shifted things up and instead moved to morning meetings on the beach where we would train for an hour and then go for breakfast or a coffee. Now this meant I would spend time with him, which is what I wanted to do, but in a different and less toxic environment, and in fact created a strengthening and even healthier option. Now, occasionally we might still go for a drink when he's around, but it's drastically less than what it was. Now, you probably have similar relationships with a friend that starts out okay, and the next thing you know, you might be steaming into drinks or getting yourself into some other trouble. And so they may be a problem for you, and thinking you have to get rid of them, however, is not the only answer. For sure, there's definitely going to be at least one or two people that you have to get rid of, that you have to cut out of your life. People that are just toxic, people that just don't belong. But for people that do belong, changing the environment may just be the answer. And so you can really use these events as opportunities to shift your relationship with that person from being centered around behaviors that destroy your discipline into something that doesn't change your discipline at all or benefits your discipline. Changing the rules of engagement is therefore a powerful way to turn things around, and especially useful for your partners, as not only does it save you in the long run, it probably will help them as well. So this is probably the most important discipline bomb that you're going to get in the entire masterclass, because all the other areas we have discussed, you make the rules. You can do this or that. You can make a promise and keep it, but you don't control the actions of others around you, however. And so if you can definitely stack the odds in your favor by changing the rules of engagement, you really want to do that. So this is a big idea, right? And so just doing this can really, really shift your life. So where do you get to change the rules of engagement? Who are the difficult people in your life that distract and tempt you away from doing what needs to get done? You want to write down 2 or 3 ways you need to change the rules of engagement around the difficult people, all right? And do you need to communicate with these new rules with this person? Or simply take the actions yourself, right? Figure it out, get it done. We now move on to keystone discipline habits. You know, we've got clear on our focus, we've got rid of things we shouldn't be doing, we've closed loops and renegotiated commitments, we've sorted out local and global environment, and so now we should have freed up quite a bit of energy and time that we can now direct through keystone discipline habits to get the results we want. You all know what keystone habits are, right? These are the habits that are the most important than others, more important than others, because they have the power to transform our life. So what we want to be doing is installing keystone discipline habits, because these become a game changer, because it puts in place the opportunity to do the right things and reduces the chances of you slipping up and doing the wrong things. So one of the first and most important disciplines is planning and preparation. Creating the space in your to do things that really matter and that's going to create momentum for you. So let me introduce you to the 7x7 weekly planning system that I've already shared with a few of you. The 7x7 weekly planning system is basically taking your whole week, splitting it into 7 blocks per day. And so it looks like a 7x7 grid, as you see in the picture here on the right. Now, on the Saturday or Sunday, when you're reviewing your previous week and planning your following week, you get to put your key blocks in first. Blocks such as your self-care routines, your family time, your workout time, your morning and evening routines, etc. All your non-negotiables. These are the things that must happen for you to fully show up for yourself, your family, and those around you. So now, effectively what you've done is, you've taken a week of 168 hours, and you've filled it with activities that probably takes up about 130 hours. And so what you're left with is about 38 hours in which you get to do all your work-related activities. Now, this is the opposite of what most people do. Most people put in all their work in there first, and then they try to fit a little bit of life around it. But what we want to do is build our business around our life and not our life around our business. So if you fill in your day with key disciplines, habits, then you're going to have less time and less opportunity to do things that are not a good fit for you. So you might have your morning routine, and this is what you do, and when you get that done, then you go into your next thing, which may be family time and breakfast. So you have an hour here to get some food, to get your kids some food, perhaps take the kids to school. Great. Now you're onto your next habit, which is your deep work session. Deep work is a focused work session. And if you have that planned out the night before, because planning is one of your cornerstone discipline habits, you're going to be eliminating all opportunity for you to get into bad behaviors, because you just don't have time to mess around. And so you get it done. So then you have a keystone habit for some exercise, or maybe a walk, or perhaps you take a healthy food break, and you only have time for that. But because it's a keystone discipline habit, you get it done. And so then maybe the next thing is another block of deep work. Maybe it's a set of calls or a communication block. And now you've done that, and then you might move on to the next block, which may be lunch, and then you move into the afternoon. And so then it could be another block of deep work. And so you continue to build out your day based around your key discipline habits that provide a platform for the next habit. In the early afternoon, you may want to have a planning and preparation session for the next day, which is absolutely key. And if you did your planning and preparation early in the day, say just after lunch, then it's great because it's better to plan the day earlier than not at all. Because usually what happens is we run out of time at the end of the day. You know, you might get to 5 o'clock and now you've got to dash home, get home to the family. And so usually there's no time to do the planning and preparation, and so it doesn't get done. So it could be much better to get it all in around lunchtime, and it's better to be early and perhaps a little incomplete than not doing it at all. So then you have your planning session in there, and then maybe this is where you get a real hard exercise session in before you get home. And then you have your home presence time. And then maybe you do a gratitude, you have a gratitude time, and then maybe you spend some more family time, and then you into your evening routine, and then you're done for the day. So if you followed something like that, you would have had a great day, a productive day, a focused day, a day that you weren't present with your family. You got to be healthier, you got to be wealthier, and you didn't let anything blow up. There were no distraction bombs. You didn't allow toxic temptations into your life. You didn't allow any time for gossip. You just had a wonderful day, a day that let you get closer to the potential that you're capable of achieving, just by having a few of these keystone discipline habits in place. Now, at first, if you're just kicking off, you don't have a lot of these in place. You know, it might be a little difficult to get started, but remember, make a promise, keep a promise. We may want to start with just one habit. So maybe currently you have a challenge waking up at a specific time and getting into a morning routine. So you get to focus on that first. And so after you have this morning routine in place, and perhaps you get to focus on that for say 7 days, then you get to focus on the next keystone habit. So perhaps that is the planning preparation session, so you know you are going to be ready for the next day. So now when you have these keystone habits in place, it's going to be an absolutely game changer because it puts in place the opportunity to do the right things and reduces the chance of you slipping up doing the wrong things because you simply won't have time for them. So when you've planned your week out, when you have dedicated focus to successful action, to planning and preparation, then your life is going to begin to get better automatically and discipline becomes easier. So your homework, you want to schedule in your calendar time to plan and prepare for the following day and protect that time with your life, as well as identifying 2 to 3 cornerstone habits that, if developed, will make success 10 times easier and automatic. Good. And that's all we want to cover off today. Get on with that work, guys. Figure out what are those actions, what are your keystone discipline habits, and build out your day in a way that it supports you to make those easy decisions and get rid of those toxic temptations. I hope that's been useful. I will see you next week. Much love. Bye-bye.